ordinary middle-class Englishman that loves France more than any other country, perhaps, you know. I had wonderful times when I was a kid, and all through my life I've yearned to be in France and, mm-hmm. and experience it. And it was a great, great delight to try and... I think any writer from Hemingway onwards has always wanted to try and bring that, you know, beautiful, beautiful city to life. And
yeah.
So it was a great honor and privilege to try and do that.
So in the end, what difference do you think the Jacksons made with their contribution? How crucial was it? How would you evaluate it?
Their house, number 11 Avenue Foch, if you go to Paris, you can wander down the Avenue Foch and look through the black iron railings in front of their house. Their house became a drop box for the Frégate Goélette resistance network, and several important agents that I found information about that were viewed by the Allies as being significant, they used that address, 11 Avenue Foch, as a place where they would deposit crucial information. And we know that there have been several reports, I read in intelligence files, that two or three key Allied agents used 11 Avenue Foch as a place where they would deposit information about the V-2 rocket program, about the German defenses along the English Channel just before D-Day. So, yes, I think they played an important role. I mean, obviously one family didn't change the outcourse of World War II, but theirs was a significant contribution to the Allied intelligence gathering effort mm-hmm. in France during World War II.
Now, in addition to writing these wonderful books, you also lead tours of important World War II sites. And I wonder if you'd talk a bit about what that adds to your writing and what it means for people to stand in these places after reading about them. What kind of reactions do you get?
Really, really profound and really memorable. The reason why I love to take people out, I've actually led several tours of European battlefields for the World War II Museum, and I remember the first time that I actually invited people to come with me to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a windy, dreary day in Normandy and to walk down with me to Omaha Beach where the Bedford Boys landed, and a lot of people went with me, and we stood there at 6:30 a.m. Looking out into the English Channel on a sector of the beach where the Bedford Boys landed. 19 of them were killed on a stretch of sand about 100 yards wide. And we waited, we looked at our watches, and we had a minute's silence at 6:31 a.m. And then 6:32 a.m. was H hour. That was the very moment that the first Americans landed in Europe in the most dangerous sector of any beach on D-Day. And people looked out and were very silent and listened to the slap of the waves on the beach. And it's a holy place for Americans. It's a place where I think every American can feel perhaps proudest of their country, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
You have to travel 3,000 miles to feel that kind of emotion, to be so far away and yet so close to what it means to be an American in the 20th century in terms of how you're viewed by other people in the world. It's a really, really wonderful moment. And I'm also an educator, I like to think sometimes, and to actually be standing in the spot where something so profound and important happened, and to be there at the exact moment on June the 6th, D-Day, 60, 70 years later, is something that really, like nothing else, will connect you to history in a very powerful way.
Yeah, it's a great privilege.
A wonderful, wonderful experience. I love doing it.